The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
I don't mean to be mean, but that's all I can be. It's just me, and I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. Radio won't even play my jam, because I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper,
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast, milestone episode, episode 120. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, were we counting all those episode parts in there? Is this actually 120?
No. We're like in the 140s, really.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get started talking football right away. But first, Scott, you've got an order of business to take care of.
No introductions this week?
No, we don't need any.
Okay. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Whether it's life insurance or investments or retirement strategies, turn to Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. After one conversation with Chris, I realized I didn't have the right plan together for my financial future. I didn't have enough life insurance to protect my family today or enough retirement income set aside for my future. It's never too late to start planning for retirement, but make the call today. Don't wait like I did. I've known Chris for over a decade and was a client of his before he and Westshore Financial became the sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. I trust him with my retirement. Call him today, and I'm sure that you will form the same opinion. Protect your family today. Give him a call at 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no obligation, preliminary conversation. You want Chris in your corner, and you'll be glad that you did.
And I'm actually planning on giving him a call because I'm trying to secure my family's future and have determined that I cannot any longer beat up small children and take their lunch money away in the school lines. For one reason, summer's coming up and school's going to be out. So
right.
I've got to come up with a better financial future.
Yes, you need to call Chris, and I need to go to TA Mahoney's and check out their selection of flare guns.
You realize those are under lock and key, right, in a special case. They only let a few people, select people back there. But well, I can probably put in a good word for you.
I was going to say, I just go in there and name drop. I'm Scott Reynolds from the Pewter Nation podcast
and
PewterReport.com.
I know Mark Cook. You got to mention
okay.
that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you know what we know, fellas? We know all about these rookies as we listen to them host press conference after press conference.
We know everything we need to know about them after one practice.
That's right.
So I think we're good.
Yeah,
I know that I have
year.
Melanoma now.
Which is from the sun?
Yeah,
today?
It was bad today.
It was hot, yeah.
It was a warm one.
It felt a little like August, except it's May.
I got a little bit of a tan. I no longer look like Conan O'Brien. I'm not quite as pasty pale.
Yeah, well, speaking of white, Devin White was incredibly impressive, not just articulating himself very well and really just kind of showing that charisma and leadership that really drew the team to him. But he really wasn't the only one. I came away impressed with Sean Murphy Bunting, very engaging guy as well. And also, you could really sense the confidence of talking to Mike Edwards, the safety from Kentucky. Those are a couple of the guys that really just stood out to me from a personality standpoint. And personality doesn't win games. It has to be the player, right, not just the personality. But when you're talking about developing that winning culture and that mindset, these are some guys that I think, and you could kind of tell, are going to buy into Devin White and what he's selling right off the bat. And I think it's a good impression for this rookie class, at least from the players we talked to today.
You could definitely see what Todd Bowles saw in all of them. They all were – I mean, even Jamel Dean, he's a little shorter for words, but even he had that confidence. He said, I got the speed. I'm ready to be – they were all ready to be out here on the field, ready to compete. Competition, I think, was – big for them, even in their press conferences, they're just going, man, I'm done with the pre-draft process and ready to get on the field competing and playing football.
Yeah, these guys love football. There's no doubt about it. And what I was impressed with was just the size. I mean, remember Carlton Davis impressed us last year with how big he was. Jamel Dean is even bigger. I mean, that dude's got some shoulders on him. And for a guy like that to run a 4.3, I even asked Sean Murphy Bunting today. I said, you know, you're a big corner, and you ran a 4.42, which was a fast time. And he's like, I can't touch Jamel Dean's speed. I mean, that's 4.3. That's legit. Scotty Miller, who we didn't have a chance to talk to today, but we saw him out there on the field, really small guy. But Bruce Arians, after the practice today, said that he was able to get free deep for a pass and hauled it in and showed off that speed.
Scotty Miller's so short, he asked me, hey, how's the weather up there?
Yes. Yeah, and you're no Goliath yourself.
No.
You know?
I'm 4 foot 19 inches, something like that.
Something like
What's
that.
What's 5'8"? Yeah, somewhere around there.
5'8 is 5'8". That's what you say. You say 5 foot 8 inches.
Oh, you don't say 4 foot 22 inches.
No.
Okay.
No,
learning something new every day.
Yeah. But we saw what Jamel Dean had a pick, technically a pick six, according to Bruce Arians. He was really.
Wait, Bruce was going on. Everybody had a pick six out there.
I know.
Sean Murphy Johnson Jr. Bunting the third. He had one, or should have had one.
Yeah.
Bruce said. Devin White should have had one.
Yeah. Devin White dropped a pass today.
What are we going to hyphenate his name to be?
Pierre Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, Pierre Paul.
Listen, somebody called you out last week for not mentioning Jude Ajay-Barima, that you were too scared to mention.
No, he just he doesn't bother me. He bothers me so little that I even forget he was here.
Okay.
Although I'm still pissed that he cost the Buccaneers a playoff shot.
That Raiders game, right?
Yeah.
That penalty on fourth down.
Let's hold away from the football. Way to go, Jude.
Yeah. You know what's funny was
I'm glad the AAF failed and he doesn't have a job now.
Wow, that's so mean.
Oh, my God.
Like,
that's harsh.
I was rooting for them to go out of business. I hope he didn't get his last check.
God.
Oh, my God.
Wow,
he probably did.
Brutal,
wow.
Dude.
Just being honest.
Who pissed in your Cheerios this morning?
Well, I mean, that's every morning.
Okay.
I do. I'm out of milk.
Oh, man.
Pee and Cheerios and long-standing grudges.
No wonder you're a grumpy old man.
I'm pissing my own Cheerios, damn it.
I talked to Donnie Abraham. He's pissed that he didn't get his last check. He was the defensive backs coach for the Orlando Apollos.
What happened to him and with Lovey? I didn't get into that.
I talked to Donnie Abraham about Rondae Barber and his illustrious career. If you haven't read the SR's Fab Five.
Look, Ira should take you and put you in his coat pocket when he makes the presentation for Rondae.
We could double team the shit out of that. I'm just telling you. Like, we could tag team that like the Road Warriors back in the day.
Yep.
You know?
Just tag in, tap in, run out there. He runs off.
Yeah.
You know, hit some of the voters with metal chairs.
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
But no, it was just to give you props. The Fab Five, if you haven't read it yet, today's Friday. It just came out. I was one of those guys, Scott, that, you know, Rondae's your favorite Buccaneer player. You don't think
Agreed.
He's the best player, but he's
not
your
gonna
favorite,
apologize
favorite
about that.
Player.
Yep.
And I really like Rondae Barber a lot, particularly as a person, except that one time he told me I looked like a child molester.
Did he really say
remember
that?
Remember when we were at the pizza place and you were talking about the one time I got arrested?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, just look a cook and tell me what you think he would have got arrested for.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he said,
"Ouch."
Maybe he didn't say it was something
Ouch,
along those lines.
Yes.
I think he said, "I should have a sign posted in my yard."
Yeah.
Something along those.
Yes,
lines.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yeah,
yeah.
Ronnie's a bit of a savage.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah, he went right after me.
He
right
is
from
a
the
savage.
I was like,
yeah,
geez, Louise, Rondae. But so he's not my favorite Buccaneer player. However, loved Rondae Barber, and I was one of those guys, Scott, that watched him throughout his whole career, and when it ended. You know, I know that you were all for, you know, even at that point, you know, this guy's put up the numbers. And I thought, you know, maybe, maybe not. I wasn't too really worried about it. I thought John Lynch was a better candidate. But after reading your Fab today, man, I got to say, there's no reason why he's not in it. And I don't know if you brought up the point or Simeon Rice brought up the point, which you had an interview with him about it, about system cornerback. That it may be the dumbest negative knock against Rondae Barber being a system quarterback. Every single player in the NFL played within a system.
Right, yeah. And actually, we talked to Ira Kaufman, who is the Hall of Fame voter in the Tampa Bay area, long time Tampa Tribune NFL writer, now with Joe Bucks fan.
It's a
and
Bo Jux fan. We don't pronounce
no,
their name.
No, it's Joe Bucks fan.
Okay.
It's Joe Bucks fan. Yeah.
Right.
And no, but Ira was great, and we had a conversation about it, and it was so good. I just put the whole thing, the whole transcript in there, questions
and
answers and everything.
Yeah, you did it, like, word for word, even when he would interject with the Scots that he does a lot.
Yes,
Scott,
absolutely.
Let me tell you.
Well, he makes it very personal.
Scott, When we used to have him on 98.7 The Fan, we used to do an over and under how many times he was going to say the host's name
right, yeah.
when he answered a question.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have a conversation with Ira, yeah. he makes it personal.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And it was really good, and I thought one, and he made a lot of great points about Rondé. I thought one of the best points he made was if you're going to call Rondé Barber a system cornerback, then you have to call Joe Montana
yep.
a system quarterback
yep.
because he thrived in Bill Walsh's West Coast offense.
Tom Brady thrives in what they do up in New England
yeah.
in that system. I mean,
right.
that's just
I'll always call him
just
a system
ridiculous.
Quarterback.
So Warren Sapp, then in all honesty, then Warren Sapp is a system three technique. And Simeon Rice was a system defensive end because
right.
they were in Monty's. I mean, it's not like Rondé played in a different system.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. He played in three different systems.
True.
Essentially.
He did. Yeah.
Right? I mean, because Raheem was his coach, then he played under Greg Schiano his
right.
last year. I wish Rondé would have played four more and made 20. He would have definitely got in.
I think he's still going to get in. I really do.
He deserves to be in.
He deserves to be in.
But from reading that transcript, Scott, it didn't sound. I'm doing Ira now, mentioning your name over and over. Is reading that transcript, it didn't seem like Ira was that confident that he could get him to that 15.
Well,
not that he couldn't get it, but
correct.
It's just you got one, if you get to the 15,
yep.
then you can then you've got a chance to make an argument for the guy. He's worried about getting him to that 15.
Yeah.
Once he gets to that point, he thinks he can make a pretty good case.
Yeah, and I think the thing too, and just in complete transparency, and I really, you know, we really try to call like we see it. We at PeterReport.com have called for head coaches to be fired here. We've called for people to be fired. We've called for players to be cut.
And removal of ping pong tables.
Yes. And I think that you really cannot call us homers in any way,
nope.
shape, or form, or
nope.
cheerleaders for the team.
Nope.
We call it like we see it. We know who our audience is. It's Buccaneer fans. You don't want to read negative news. I get that. At the same time, we see how hard these players work.
Yep.
And we're certainly not rooting against them. And yes, I'll be honest. I would love to cover another playoff team. I would. It's been a decade. It's time, right? I mean, I would love to change the narrative and actually focus on a playoff push in November and December rather than starting
yeah.
to prep for the draft, right? I think the listeners out there in Pewter Nation feel the same way. I'm a human being. You're a human being. We got spoiled back in the Dungy and Gruden eras
mm-hmm.
walking into a locker room and seeing Allstott, Sapp, Brooks, Barber, you know, Rice.
Scott, you made a good point recently. We used to go to Raymond James. This is when I was at Buccaneer Magazine and the old Tampa Stadium. We would pull up knowing the Bucs were 99% sure they were going to win that game.
Yeah.
It was just a point of, you know, by how much?
Right.
You know, what was the final score going to
yep.
be?
Yeah,
road games a little different,
was
but home games, they were
going to have a better
win.
Day than Warrick Dunn or
right.
vice versa, right?
Right.
Was it going to be – you know, Derek Brooks with the pick six or Rondé Barber that game. That's just kind of how it was. But for me, do I want to see Rondé Barber in the Hall of Fame? Yes, I do. Am I going to try to help him get there? Yes, I am. And I'm not making any bones about that or apologies about it.
I saw Tiki Barber retweeted you.
Yeah, he did. And that's good to see. And that's part of the reason why I tagged so many people out there like,
yeah.
like Tiki and Tony Dungy and all that, hoping that they retweet it. Not to help our story count, but to get the word out there outside of the Tampa Bay bubble, outside of the small
yeah.
market, to get the appreciation out there for Rondé.
Don't tag Bradley Cooper. He's a Philly fan.
I'm not going to tag
no
Bradley
Eagles
Cooper.
Fans.
And you're not
they
out
hate
there
Rondé Barber.
Yeah.
Vouching for every player. You're not
correct.
Out there. I mean, it takes a lot. It takes a Devin White for you to really vouch for him, a Rondé
yes.
Barber for you to really vouch for him. You're not out here saying, why is Keenan McCardell not have a busting camp?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And that's a fair point, and that's the truth. And I believe in Rondé's candidacy. I think the numbers speak for themselves. And, you know, listen, I took the article that I wrote in the Fab Five 2 years ago, and I refreshed it. I kept Simeon Rice's quotes in there. I kept Dwight Smith's quotes in there. I added some quotes to talk to Donnie Abraham. We put John Gruden's quote in there, Tony Dungy's quote. And so I wanted to refresh the argument, and it seemed timely with him getting into the Bucs Ring of Honor this week in terms of being, you know, the latest inductee, that we really start the push now because there is a window of time. And I think that his only real competitor is going to be Charles Woodson, somebody that I think should get in
yeah.
ahead of Rondé. And
yeah.
I think everybody understands that's the case. But with Ty Law going in and Champ Bailey going in, there's not really that other cornerback on the horizon outside of Charles Woodson that can really compete with Rondé.
But
and
what you've got to look at, though, Scott,
is right to get him in.
Is just eligible players because the Hall of Fame committee has always been a little biased against defensive backs, whether it be cornerback or safety.
Especially safeties.
So I don't know who the running backs or the quarterbacks are that are eligible this year that could also hurt them, because they don't look at it like, okay, well, you know, we put in two quarterbacks and two running backs, we can't put in, you know, now we have to put in a cornerback. They don't really look at it like that at all.
Yeah, that's true. But I just think that
– But if he was going up against, you know, just say, for instance, Deion Sanders was eligible and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I mean, you know, yes, that would hurt his case even more. So having the, you know, less amount of cornerbacks to compete with certainly helps him a little bit. But I really want to look at the next couple years and see who's, you know, first ballot eligible to go in.
The interesting thing, and we covered this in the Fab Five, when I talked to Donnie Abraham, was just how bad Rondé's rookie season was. This is a guy that came in after he had 15 interceptions in 3 years at Virginia.
Yeah, your Fab 3 may hurt his case a little bit. I was like, I almost deleted that.
No, that was just 1 year.
Yeah, I almost deleted that, because now he only had a 15-year decent career. The first one was crap.
Like any good Marvel
four
movie,
tackles.
You have to have the origin. You've got to find out where these Avengers came from and what made them special and why are they relevant now. And when you're talking about the end game, it has to go to the beginning. And Rondé's end game is the Hall of Fame. What's the beginning? 1997, he was a third-round pick, and there were high expectations. He was a name player. We talked about this in the last podcast, about Greedy Williams being a name player and Sean Murphy Bunting not being a name player from Central Michigan. Well, Rondé was a name player. There was Rondé and Tiki Barber at Virginia, and they had just knocked off Florida State on Thursday Night Football.
Didn't happen.
It
Fake
did
news.
Happen.
Nope.
Up there in Charlottesville.
Dunn scored.
Big upset. No, he
Dunn
did
scored.
Not.
They
he
didn't have instant replay. Nope.
He got stopped.
Ball
on the
across
goal
the
line.
Plane. Should have won.
Yep. And so this was a guy that should have been, I think, a first or second round draft pick, but he ran a slow 40 time. And that was
what was his 40 time? Do we know?
No. Donnie Abraham told me it was a 4.68.
Yeah, I saw that.
Rondé texted me and said, I love how Rondé to this day says, "I am not slow. I am not slow." Let's see. This is what Rondé said. He said, "There are a lot of misconceptions out there. Like I was slow. I won state my year in high school as a hurdler, and I was a national champion as a senior, running the fourth fastest time in prep history at the time." Laugh out loud. So yes, but Rondé was not that fleet of foot. Let's just say no one was going to confuse him with Jim Aldean's 4.3 time in the 40-yard dash. But
again,
he fell to the third round.
Football isn't about, hey, can you win a 100-yard dash?
Correct.
I mean, and there's football speed.
Yes.
I mean, my son runs a lot like Jameis Winston. But when he's on the football field, I mean, there's a
instincts.
Gear that he has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
instincts, too, you know, taking the right angles and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's what made Rondé such a great cornerback for so long, is he didn't have the speed. And even when he lost some of that speed when he got into his 30s, he diagnosed things so quickly that he was taking a step in the right direction before the ball was snapped.
His film
and that
study
helped him get there.
And they all talked about it, was legendary.
Yes.
And because you remember his last year, he went from cornerback to safety.
Yeah.
So here's a guy, started off as a cornerback, found his niche kind of in that moving on third down to the nickel roll, still playing, you know, cornerback on other downs, then transitioning to safety, and I think he still had 90 tackles his last year.
Yeah, one of the other things that Ira said in our conversation that really stood out to me was, this is a guy who did not miss a game in the last 13 years of his career. All right.
That's wild.
Yeah. And
Scott, tell the story about him breaking his hand.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl year in 2002, he broke his thumb, and it was deemed to be a 4-week injury. He'd have to miss a month of that year. And he said, "Nope, I got practice on Wednesday, so we're going to have surgery on Monday. And then cast it up, and I'm out there and practice on Wednesday." And
not only did he not miss a game, he did not miss a practice.
He did not miss a practice that year. And
he had a knee injury.
Yeah, he hurt his knee in December of 2002, and he had a partial tear in his ligament in his knee. So during the pick six, to close down the vet and send the Bucks to the Super Bowl, that 92-yard jaunt was running with a bum knee and played in the Super Bowl with that same bum knee. And keep in mind, too, he actually had two interceptions the week prior against Jeff Garcia and the San Francisco 49ers, one of which was a pick six that was called back because of a stupid penalty from Simeon Rice.
Yeah.
But Rondae Barber had 15, including that postseason pick six against the Eagles, 15 non-offensive touchdowns. So in the regular season, he had 14. And the record, of course, is 20 from Devin Hester. All right. So to put this in perspective in terms of history making and him belonging in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Devin Hester had 20 non-offensive touchdowns. Deion Sanders had 19. Rod Woodson had 18. Rondae Barber is fourth all-time with 14.
How many more tackles did he have than Deion Sanders? That was a fascinating stat.
About 1,000.
About 1,000 more tackles in his career than Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Well, and do you think that being in the Ring of Honor might help? I mean, because a lot of this is public perception.
Yeah.
What are the arguments you see against Rondae Barber going to the Hall of Fame?
We can tell Taylor hasn't read the
fact.
Yeah, he hadn't read the fact.
I've been writing a lot today, so I haven't had a chance.
That's true. He's exactly
I got here early to write a little bit. Okay. Yeah,
it was out at 10 o'clock.
It was out.
Morning.
It was okay, out. I was already here. I was here at like 10:30 this
morning. Friday isn't over yet. You still have a chance to read it.
I will.
As long as you read it tonight.
I'll write it. Read it tonight.
Then you save this question for next time.
But what is the argument against him? Oh, he's a nickel corner. He's not. Yeah. He wasn't a lockdown guy. And I think a lot of that because not all the voters, I mean, I'm not saying they're not necessarily knowledgeable, but they didn't watch the kind of Rondae Barber snaps that, say, an Ira Kaufman did. And they
I mean, we haven't watched the same Charles Woodson snaps and things like that.
No.
So, you know, that's there's going to be that bit of that, and that's where Ira comes in or any voter comes in. They've got to convince – because these guys are normally covering teams – and so they're solely focused on those teams.
Right.
And, you know, an AFC West guy where the Bucks play an AFC West schedule once every 4 years or 5 years might see Rondae Barber once, you know, in five years plays.
Yeah.
And then maybe he has a bad game that game. Maybe he got torched. You know, so, you know, the voter has to be the advocate. And I think Ira does a tremendous job.
Yeah,
I mean,
I do
he does
too.
His homework.
Well, and the thing that really frustrates Ira is, and Rondae's been a semifinalist, but you have to be – in the top 15 to be in the discussion in the room. Once you're in the 15, then that's where you get to have your case made by your presenter. And in this case, it's Ira Kaufman. And so with him, he's just dying to get Rondae in there. But the thing is, there has to be enough initial votes to get him in the room. And the hope is that with this article, I'm sure the Buccaneers will do more. And that's a big reason why Rondae is going there. So to answer your question, does it help? Slightly. That's what Ira says. Slightly.
They tried it with John Lynch.
Yeah.
They pushed John Lynch through,
yeah.
You know, to try and help his cause a little bit, and it probably didn't make any difference at all. But
yeah. And the thing with Lynch that's interesting, what he has over Barber is 9 Pro Bowls compared to 5.
Right.
And
he's in 2 Ring of Honors.
Ring of Honors, yeah. But the thing is, though, is when you look at John, he doesn't have the signature play. He doesn't have that memorable impact play. He doesn't have the records
He's
either.
Just got the reputation that, John Lynch is a hard hitter.
Exactly.
But I guess that goes a long way since he gets into the top 15. Or
maybe
the Hall of Fame voters just have a bias against Buccaneers secondary players.
Well, and that's something else, too, that I talked to Ira about. And even I asked Tony Dungy this question at his Ring of Honor induction last year that I put it in there. Is there a bias against putting more than two guys and Brooks and Sapp already in there from that 2002 defense? And I asked Ira that question. He says that's kind of nonsense as an old Chiefs fan.
Right.
The Chiefs defense from 1969 has 6 players.
Yeah, if a team is
there.
Great, then the players that were great on that team should be rewarded. You look at, you know, the Patriots, obviously they're still winning Super Bowls now, but even back then they're slowly starting to get their players in, just like, you know, Ty Law last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at how many of those Steelers players from the 70s, the steel curtain guys, not to mention the Lynn Swans and the John Stallworths and the Terry Bradshaws and the Franco Harrises and the Mike Webster at center.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably 10 of those guys that played for the Steelers in the 70s.
Right.
Chuck Knoll's in there.
Right, but the one thing the Steelers will say is, well, that was 4 Super Bowls worth of players,
and,
too.
And you made a, and in the article you asked, is it hurt? That there's just one Super Bowl out of all that.
Yeah.
And, you
know? And at the same time, though, I think that, and Ira brought up this point, which was good, was that the Chiefs' defense in 1969 was really, really good. It was up there with the Bucks' 2002 defense. But they didn't sustain that
defense. It was good for 1 or 2 years.
Right.
It wasn't the 10-year run that we saw with this defense.
Exactly.
You know who's on Twitter, boys?
Who's on Twitter? T.A. Mahoney's?
T.A. Mahoney's.
There you go, yeah. Matthew. T.A. Mahoney's is now on Twitter, and we urge all Buccaneer fans, Pewter Nation listeners, to go to Twitter if you're a Twitterite. I don't know what that means. If you're a Twitterer, if you're a twatter.
If you tweet.
If you tweet.
If you tweet, yeah.
Go to your Twitter account and follow T.A. Mahoney, and they've we're going to be posting a lot of their deals. I noticed today they posted their fine selection of Costa sunglasses. I don't know yet, Scott, if they posted any flare guns yet.
But, I'm waiting.
But very soon they will have a selection of flare guns that they're going to tweet out so you can check out what they have. Running some great specials right now on on axles for your trailers. Galvanized axles. Why galvanized, boys?
Why?
Salt water is awful.
Yep. Of course.
For hubs, bearings, the axles, everything. Just eats it up. You need galvanized. They're running some great specials right now. Single axle, double axle, triple axle. That sounds like me.
Figure skating when I do the triple axle. Shell Kwan.
Yeah. So go check out T.A. Mahoney's. You can find them online, tamahoney.com. You can also find them on Twitter. Or you could stop by their location, 50th Street and Adamo. Been in business since 1948, the same year that Scott Reynolds was born.
Nope.
So they've been around quite a while.
Mark, if I was going to follow them on Twitter, what would their handle be?
Their handle would be at Mahoney_Co.
There we go.
So find them, follow them, and we would appreciate it.
And they would appreciate it, too.
Absolutely.
So just to wrap up the Rondé Barber thing, it was interesting when we heard Mike Edwards, the safety from Kentucky, the Bucks' third-round pick, second or third?
Mike
second
Smith
of third
hyphen
round picks.
Edwards.
Oh, gosh. Now let's just drop the hyphens, man.
I wish we – I'm not – I'm just not going to write Murphy Bunting. I'm just writing Bunting. I'm sorry.
SMB.
Yeah, there you go. Let's just do some initials. But he said the reason why the Bucks drafted him is just his playmaking ability. And it's nice and refreshing to hear some of these guys come in with the confidence.
Yeah.
We heard Sean Murphy Bunting say that, you know, yeah, like let's get the competition on. He's ready to compete coming in as a second round
But pick. let's play devil's advocate here a little bit, Scott. Be a little negative Nancy. Look, I want all these guys to succeed, and I love the confidence. You definitely want your defensive backs to have confidence. But there was nobody that exuded more confidence last year in their draft class than Carlton Davis.
Well, Vernon Hargreaves also, too.
You know, both those guys. Yeah. And, again, you need other guys around you, and you need the right system. It doesn't matter how great you were. Listen, I'll go to my grave saying this team could have had four Deion Sanders in the backfield last year under Mike Smith, and they still would have been, you know, bottom of the heap as far as pass defense goes because of the system.
It definitely helps that confidence transition to the field when these guys know the system they're coming into.
Yeah.
Vernon Hargreaves was confident in himself, but then was, again, thrown on the field where he did not belong and was played
in quarters coverage, off coverage, when he was a press man corner of Florida. Yeah.
Jamel Dean is a fast, athletic press man corner, and he's coming into a scheme that utilizes fast, physical, athletic press man corners.
Yeah, and Carlton Davis, I'm anxious to see what he'll do this year in the same type of system where he was familiar with that at Auburn, just like Jamel Dean was.
Somebody's going to be sitting on the bench, though, boys. Think about this.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's also going to be injuries, too.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one thing, too, that really you could just tell frustrated Jason Light when he had to start Ryan Smith.
You never know if any of these cornerbacks are going to be driving their red Ferrari in the rain at 2 a.m. fast in Miami.
Let's talk about Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yikes.
Boy.
Pain in my neck.
When you talk about you know, about Bruce Arians kind of spitting knowledge and telling the truth, right? No BS from BA. You know, when he's mentioning the words, we just need to pray for Jason Pierre-Paul, and we hope it's a 5 to 6 month injury, you know, or timetable that he gets back. I mean, they're not counting on this guy to come back.
No, I mean, and you can't. I mean, and Bruce said it. You got to look at it like, look, I mean, it's just like a guy gets injured on the field. You know, you got to – he did say we don't have a plan yet because we don't know what the final verdict is going to be.
Right.
But we're in May right now, so if it's a 6 month injury, you've got I'm going to do some plant city math here with my fingers. Yep. June, July, August, September, October,
November.
November.
Oh yeah.
It was a 6 month injury.
He gets right back in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, well, there's the playoff push. He'll be fresh.
Yeah.
Maybe wearing a neck collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how much working out and getting ready for football. I mean, that's 6 months where Is that 6 months until he's ready to start participating in football activities?
I don't know.
Because if it's just
I don't think Bruce knows right now.
Might be a month removed. How long does it take him to get back in football shape after
I would just caution Buccaneer fans, don't expect number 90 to contribute a whole lot this year, if anything.
Yeah.
Just plan on the fact that Anthony Nelson is going to have to step up, Carl Nassib is going to have to step up, Shaq Barrett is going to have to step up, and Noah Spence is going to have to step up.
And now in this situation, you really have to be concerned with – injuries, right? Because if Carl Nassib goes down for a period of time, and we saw Vinnie Curry go out with the high ankle sprain for 4 weeks, that's really what allowed Nassib to step up and kind of be the guy opposite JPP. But now all eyes are going to be on Nassib, where he could benefit from all the attention that was paid to Jason Pierre-Paul last year and do some of his dirty work and damage on the other side without having to have team's game plan against him because they were worried about number 90.
Well, I was going to say Carl Nassib owes a couple of his sacks to number 90. Absolutely, yeah.
So now if Carl's the marked man and he were to go down, woo, now you're looking at a scary situation, right? Now you're counting on your rookie Anthony Nelson and you're counting on Noah Spence or Kazen Daniels if he ends up making the roster. You know, it's I'm not as concerned, and I know there's Shaq Barrett's in the equation too, but like I'm not as concerned as long as another injury doesn't hit. I think the Buccaneers can get by and manufacture some sacks. And they're going to miss JPP. There's no doubt about it.
Let's not forget, though, at this point last year when we were doing this podcast, we didn't even know who – well, we knew who Carl Nassib was, but nobody expected him to be on this football team.
And he wasn't.
And so there's always that chance, too, that Jason Light finds another – Gotsir Cherilis or Joe Hawley or Carl Nassib.
He even got Jaquez Smith, too, off the waiver wires right before the start of the season.
Yeah. Jason, however you want to criticize him, him and his guys do a pretty damn good job of identifying guys that still have some juice left or guys that just weren't utilized the right way and bringing them in here and seeing some success with them. So, your starting right defensive end may not even be on this roster right now.
Yeah, when we talk to Jason throughout the off season, or even in the summer, mm-hmm. when we have conversations with him, what does he always tell us? He's like, "We're not playing tomorrow."
Yeah,
it's like, "What are you gonna do about your running back situation? How about your edge rushers? What are you doing there? What are you doing at cornerback?"
We got time.
We got time.
Yep.
We're not starting the season.
Doesn't start tomorrow. Yep. Exactly.
So there's that.
Now deep down inside, he's going, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
What am I going
to
do?
And I think another point, not to sound insensitive, health is obviously the first thing we want to – I want to get that out of the way. Health is the most important thing. But
you sound very insensitive right now.
But you know what really sucks? Is this team is last in the league in cap space. Mm-hmm. They've still got to re-sign their first overall draft pick.
Yep.
And it's and last year it really hurt losing Kendall Beckwith because of what he could have potentially been as a prospect. Mm-hmm. But you were also losing just over $800,000. JPP is $14.9 million.
Yeah.
Almost 8% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
Third on the team in salary cap.
Yeah. On a player that as of right now, probably won't play this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I wonder what kind of relief they can get, if any, from that because it was a non-football type injury. I mean, if you cut the guy, he's still guaranteed because in March there was a bonus or something, some sort of clause kicked in that. At least $7.5 million. Yeah. I think Greg Allman tweeted
that
out.
What I saw was Spotrac had $7.5 million guaranteed. So that would clear, I think, at maximum, 7.4, unless there's some stipulation in his contract that would free that.
I think the thing is, though, is they're not going to cut Jason Pierre-Paul unless his career is over.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to gauge is okay, is this an injury where he might not play this year, but doctors feel really confident he's going to come back.
I'll tell you, though, something Bruce said that made me nervous when he was talking about JPP and also Kendall Beckwith is, boy, I hate to see guys' careers ended with non-football injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
yeah.
Does that mean Beckwith's
done? We're talking about a neck, too. Like, that's as serious as it gets in the game of football.
Yeah, you would rather wreck your knee or your shoulder or something, even though you got to run and you got to tackle, than your neck.
Anything from the neck down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you're Kendall Beckwith, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, with Kendall, it sure sounds like he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really foresee him coming back. I mean, he's had
let's put this
a
way.
Year now.
Bruce was talking in past tense with Kendall
Beckwith.
It almost sounded like he was talking about a guy that is dead.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, his career, I think.
Wow. Talk about insensitive.
That's how Bruce was
He's fine. He just can't play football right now.
I'm very sorry that Kendall Beckwith can't play football.
Okay, thank you. We'll let him know that.
And if someone could pass this message along,
and I feel bad for Devin White because those guys were buds and they wanted to play together. But again, that's why.
Don't worry, they'll draft another LSU linebacker next year.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm sure there's another LSU linebacker.
Somebody find the best prospect on the LSU defense. And
if they're as good as Devin White, Quan Alexander, and Kendall Beckwith, draft one every year for all I care. Draft one every season if they're going to produce like that.
Yeah.
Just like
that. No, not every year. You don't need like 15 on your roster.
They'll just draft someone from the SEC for the secondary. Yeah. They seem to do that as well.
Yeah. SEC. And Auburn. Auburn cornerbacks. They love them, too. All right. So we have another day of minicamp tomorrow. They've got a short abbreviated thing on Sunday that the media is not allowed to attend. Just briefly, guys, it was hot, and, of course, we have an awful view. We have to stay on the patio. As much as we want to beat Lovie Smith up for that awful new beard that he has, boy, he did let us wander around quite a bit.
He did, and I think the hope is that Bruce will loosen up and lighten up a little bit and let us walk around and have some better vantage points.
Like, for instance, and again, people are going to be like, where's this detailed practice report? Well, guess what? There's not one.
There's not going
to
be any.
The offensive line, people that have been to one Buccaneer place, imagine us on the back patio by the building. Now, over the, we call it the woodshed, all the way on the far east side of the third practice field, there's a little outbuilding or, you know, they probably keep pads and stuff like that in there. That's where the offensive linemen were today doing their individuals. So I was really upset because I really wanted to see Alec Eberle, my favorite Florida State player of all time. He was on a tryout basis. By the way, Florida State fans, I'm not even going to write a story about him tomorrow because he probably won't be here past Sunday. He's a tryout guy.
Yeah, I would. I'd say
I'm joking. I'm not. That was total sarcasm. He's not my favorite player. Nice guy. Interviewed him at the East-West Shrine game. But this guy he's had a ton of injuries. They ended up playing 4 years at Florida State. But anyway, if they're down to Alec Eberle as center, then Jameis Winston should probably retire.
Yeah. It's interesting because we have a couple quarterbacks in this rookie minicamp. One of them has been signed, and that's Nick Fitzgerald from Mississippi State, who is kind of like a Tim Tebow knockoff. I mean, he actually broke Tebow's SEC quarterback rushing record, right?
Yeah, BA compared him to Joe Webb.
Whoa. What did
Sorry,
you just
Bruce
say?
Arians. Bruce
Holy
Arians
crap,
compared him
that?
To Joe Webb.
I heard some kind of...
Yeah, Mr. Arians. Mr. Coach Arians.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. BA.
Didn't even...
Like they hang out and have beers after work.
Mr. Coach Arians compared him to Joe Webb.
Well, the thing is, if you were to hang out with Bruce after work and have a beer...
I know where I'd want to hang out with him.
Where would that be?
Well, Ford's Garage, of course.
Oh, well, of course.
Of all places.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about lunch breaks and how, boy, they wish they could have a beer on their lunch break, but their
Who
boss won't let them. I can't remember. But
I did.
My point was, that's not a problem at Pewter Report.
No.
Because when I go to lunch with Scott, he's going to have a beer. I guarantee it. So, and we were at Ford's Garage this past week with our great photographer, Cliff Welch, who does a tremendous job for us. Longest tenured member of the Pewter Report team. He's been shooting the Buccaneers since 68.
Well, taking photos of them.
Yeah. Yeah, not shooting them. That would be against the law.
Did he shoot Keith McCants?
No, he didn't shoot Keith. I think he shot Bryce Hunter.
Oh, no, I meant Broderick Thomas.
Yeah, it was Broderick got shot.
I was trying to make a funny joke because Broderick Thomas got shot in the ass.
And he lives.
Bryce Hunter actually died.
Well, I didn't shoot him.
Now he's Mr. Insensitive Mark.
Hey, what do you expect from a guy who pees in his own cornflakes? I mean, come on.
That's true.
People want me to be sensitive now?
Yeah.
But Ford's Garage is located throughout Central Florida.
It's such an 80s breakfast, too, man. You need to...
60s. I'm going even farther back. I'm old school.
All right.
Don't make me bust out the Rice Krispies, too. Or some... never mind. Shredded wheat. God, I love my grandmother, and I miss her every
day.
These
are like Brillo pads, man.
I hated spending the night at her house for breakfast. I mean, literally, those were your three choices for cereal. It's like, ugh.
You could not pour enough milk or sugar onto the shredded wheat.
No.
This big, they're like briquettes or something.
And you bit into them, and it was like this puff of dust went in your mouth.
Yes, God. It did have like a sawdust taste to it.
Yeah,
Unless you just doused it in milk and sugar.
Like, who thought this was a good idea? Let's shred some wheat. Pack it together real tight.
Like a brick?
Like a brick, and then put milk on it.
Right.
Because that'll soften it. Anyway, I don't know. Apparently I need more fiber in my diet, my grandmother thought, so we had shredded wheat. But Ford's Garage does not serve shredded wheat, but I'll tell you what they do serve, some amazing nachos that Scott and I polished off.
Yes, we did.
We were literally, like, the lady came to take the plate away, guys, and Scott's like, hang on. And he's, like, running his finger across the bottom of the plate.
I'm
getting the last
lie.
Of the barbecue sauce up.
Yeah.
And there was a couple little chip pieces, and he's like, I want those. Yeah. So she wasn't able to take the plate, but they were tremendous. And, Scott, I just want to congratulate you on earning the Barrett Rood photo.
Thank you.
For finishing off a thing, and you took a picture of it, so you're going to get the Barrett Rouge.
Yeah, with your help, I was able to finish that off. Thank
you. Just kidding. We already owe that to someone else. So I do have the picture still in storage. As soon as they make arrangements to come to Brandon, I'll be happy to give it to them. But Ford's Garage is located throughout Central Florida, multiple locations, a new one in Kissimmee. We went to the one in Wesley Chapel. I go to the one in Brandon often, but you can go to FordsGarageUSA.com, and you can find the location closest to you. Even if you're up as far north as Dearborn, Michigan, or as far south as Estero, Florida, there's a Ford's Garage near you. They're ever expanding. They're all over the Central Florida area. Check them out, FordsGarageUSA.com. Great beer, burgers, and happy hour, like all day long, like from 11 to 7. It's tremendous happy hour, which
I'm
is perfect for a guy like Scott Reynolds.
Yeah, liquid lunches are great.
Scott's like, hey, I'm getting there a little early. He got there like at 10:30. They weren't even open yet.
I was there at 10:55.
Yeah, and banging on the door. I want my beer. Give me my beer. All right. Well, that's it. Now, what else do we need to talk about? We've got a little bit more mini camp that we'll have this week. Then they go into the OTA things again, right?
Yep.
And then they have the mandatory mini camp. And I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting to see if they haven't made a decision on Gerald McCoy when June 6th comes along, if number 93 walks through the door.
That will be interesting to see. And we will have a look at the entire roster. The rookies and the veterans will be there next Tuesday. So we'll have our next podcast in just a few short days with the impressions of the veterans and the rookies. Hopefully we'll have a better vantage point. I'm going to talk to the Bucks and see if we can
probably not going to happen.
Well, we'll see. You know,
Did Pewter Report approve my request for a drone?
No,
we're not going to do the drone. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Andre said he did want some target practice, so I just don't know if that's in the budget.
$3,000 to have it shot down.
Just to have it shot out of the sky from Andre, the security guard on top of the.
Remember the old One Buccaneer place? Like people would be like in parking garages.
Oh, you're right next door. Yeah.
And
Sam Weiss would stop practice sometimes and have the security guys go there because he thought that the practices were being filmed.
Yeah. Well, you know those Detroit Lions. They were so worried about Sam Weiss and Craig Erickson.
Yeah. Oh, so they're not just doing a double reverse. It's actually a triple reverse.
God.
Okay.
Sam Weiss, the man who did a promotions with Hooters to let a fan call the first play in the first preseason game.
That's right. Yep.
It actually was one of the better plays of the game.
I know. That was the sad thing. Yeah. I remember that. So we will have that going for you guys next Tuesday. We'll have the next podcast. Need your help, Pewter Nation. Please log on to pewterreport.com and help us welcome a new advertising partner. Advent Health, they've got a special promotion, and this is really geared towards Buccaneer fans, okay? I mean, yes, we want you to go to Ford's Garage. Yes, we want you to call Griscarito. Yes, we want you to go buy flare guns and other Marine needs at T.M. Mahoney's. But let's face it, what do all of you have in common? You're Buccaneer fans. And so this is a promotion that every single one of you listeners needs to take advantage of. All you have to do is click on the Advent Health banners you see on PewterReport.com. And yes, Rick's always some talking to you too. And go ahead and
I'm out, Rick.
No, not yet. Oh. We'll do that later. But go ahead and fill out in 500 words or less why you're a Buccaneer fan, and just give them your information. And it's a register to win, no purchase necessary kind of thing. And you have a chance to win two club seats to the season opener against the 49ers, some on-field VIP passes, and some autographed Bucks memorabilia. It's a fantastic thing that any Buccaneer fan, any Pewter Report reader, any Pewter Nation listener can take advantage of.
And a hepatitis A shot.
They could probably work that out for you.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea.
I can't say that in full disclosure that they will do that, but I'm pretty sure that if you found a doctor,
well, we know one thing: if you end up with
at
hepatitis,
Advent Health.
if you end up with go to Advent, go to their hospitals, and they will take care of it.
Or the measles too. That's
measles.
That's kind of making a resurgence, and the bubonic plague.
Yes,
is coming.
I got polio
well.
Last week.
Did you really?
Yep. My leg just locked up.
Sorry to hear that.
Call me FDR.
Well, no wonder you're pissing in your Cheerios, man. You've had a rough life, Cook.
My catheter didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. And one other thing for all of our Pewter Nation folks, if you would like to come bowling with us, we had a tremendous turnout for our initial bowling party last Wednesday at Penn Chasers on Armenia. But we've still got room for more teams if you'd like to come out. We're going to have some guest bowlers, some Buccaneer players from time to time during the course of the 8 weeks. but it kicks off next Wednesday night. The great thing about it is it's a four-man league. Even if you've only got just yourself, you can't come up with four people, there are some teams that could use some players, so we'll match you up. And really, all skill levels are welcome. And the great thing about it is it's used as a handicap system, not me and my wheelchair kind of handicap, an actual handicap system. And what we do, and this is tremendous because I'm an awful bowler, yet I was one of the top bowlers last year because my handicap adjusted and added pins to my score each week. And my team actually finished second in the league, which I don't know how that happened because we were not very good, but because of the handicap.
Yeah, I was very good.
No, you were.
Oh, look at that.
Totally inconsistent. He would bowl a 160 and then an 84.
Oh, man. That's almost worse. Because
I don't know if I ever got down to an 84.
Because the expectations there.
Right.
Like, oh, hey.
We got a ringer. Yep. No, he let us down multiple times. Particularly in the biggest games.
Second place.
Call him Roberto Aguayo of the bowling league. Shank. We need this to win this game tonight, right. Taylor, and he throws a gutter ball. So, anyway, the name of my team is the Roy Munsons, named after the amazing film Kingpin. One of the best movies in the history of the world.
Agreed.
So check that out. And you can go to pinchasers.net, I believe it is, or just Google Pinchasers. You can sign up for the league, or you can just show up next week, and there's room for you as well. It's $12 a week, guys. Think about this. You're going to bowl three games, so that's $4 a game. Include your shoes. Include socks. And the best part is, at the end of the 8 weeks, everybody gets a custom-drilled bowling ball.
That's nice.
They'll even put your name on it.
You can't beat that.
Scott Reynolds. Maybe not the Reynolds part, but at least Scott.
That's cool.
So anyway, go check out Pin Chasers, even if you don't want to be in the bowling league. Go stop by. They're a great sponsor. SR, yes.
Bruce Arians would have BA on his.
Oh, boy. Right? If Matt had his way. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. For Taylor Jennings, Matt Matera, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, Sam. We'll see you soon.
Who's Taylor Jennings?
Our great intern we used to have, the former FSU cheerleader, remember? Oh, no, she was another one that, yeah, gosh, okay, we're going to cut that part out.
No, we're not. We're
leaving. For Taylor Jenkins, again, I just am not used to a man with a woman's name. For Martha Matera. For Sandy Reynolds.
That's my aunt.
I'm Mila Cook. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Happy Mother's Day to any moms listening out there.